Good morning again to every one of you. I must apologize for not being with you physically, because since the termination of the ferry service for cars to go over, I have not been able to drive the long distance by way of the bridge over to Butterworth. That will take roughly
1 hour.
Sorry, can you hear me now? Okay, I forgot to unmute myself. Right, let me start all over again. First, a good morning to all of you, and a blessed Chinese New Year too. Now, my apologies to all of you for not being able to be with you physically, for the simple reason that the ferry services to Butterworth from Penang have been stopped, so that I have to go by way of the bridge. And to go by way of the bridge, I have to take or to drive along nearly 20 kilometers in order to reach you. I cannot drive that long these days because I lose contention. Sorry about that. Well, sorry about that. There is Chinese New Year season and the crackers outside my house are cracking, making such a big noise. Well, back again to what I was trying to say. I will not be able to drive a long distance, over 10 kilometers, because I will lose my attention. So, to be safe, I have got to speak to you by way of Zoom. Thank you very much for your patience. Now, this morning, we don't have much time, and this topic is very long, so I'm going to summarize some of it in the process. So bear with me then as I start. Differences between rapture and revelation. Now, it is important that when we study the Bible, we really know how to divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 reminds us to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Therefore, we must learn how to divide the very events described for us in the Bible. We must be able to make a distinction, for example, in the peoples God dealt with in time. For example, in the scriptures, we dealt with certain terms that we must be aware of. There would be the Jews, there would be the Gentiles and the church. And these are listed for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32, where we read, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God." Now you remember, or you would note, that at the time when Paul was writing, there were already three groups of people: the Jews, the Gentiles, the Church. Who are they? Now, because of time, I will just cut short and just tell you that the Jews were the descendants of Abraham. And when God called Abraham, he promised him a nation, a great nation, a great name, and a great land. And he promised that all these promises to him would be fulfilled to his descendants, the Jews. And if the Jews would be a reference to Israel, that would be from the line of Shem. Now you remember, although many of us think that we are descendants from Adam, yet actually in greater reality, we are the descendants from Noah. Because the descendants of Adam all died in the flood, except for Noah and his three sons and family. And so we find that Ham went north, Ham went south, and from the African nation, and Japheth went north, the European nation, and the Shemites went to the Asia, and we have the Jews, in general speaking. God promised the Jews that they would become a great nation if they obeyed his covenant. That was a covenant made to Abraham unconditionally. They would become a kingdom, and God would provide the king for them. But they rejected him. They rejected the king. You remember when Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate presented Jesus to the Jews, the people. He said, "Behold your king." And they said, "Away with him. Away with him. We have no king but Caesar." And so they rejected the king. And with that, the kingdom as well. And so God had to put them aside for the meanwhile. Now please note, God did not cast them away. God put them aside. God put them to the side for punishment, for rejecting the Messiah. And then later on, he would take them back again. But in the meanwhile, in their place, God took up another people known as the church. So we have the church, which consists of people who were Jews and Gentiles who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that in the church, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, but all are one in Christ. So now we have got three groups of people. The Jews from the line of Abraham, which have been put aside in the meanwhile, to be restored later on after the age of the church. Then came church to take in between for God to deal with, so that the church will become the very picture through which God would express his purposes. And then we have the Gentiles, those who have not rejected, who have not been deceived, the Lord Jesus Christ, who are non-Jews. So then therefore we have got the three groups: Jews, Gentiles, and church. Now, to confirm all these, let us look at a statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was resurrected from the dead. The disciples asked, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power." Now, please note that the disciples recognized the fact that although God had set aside Israel for the fulfillment of his purpose and promises to Abraham, they acknowledged the fact that they were not put away, but they were just put aside. One day, the kingdom will be restored to them again. In the meanwhile, they asked the Lord, "When will that happen?" The Lord said, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons." And I'd like you to note, the Lord was very particular in using the words "the times" or "the seasons." The times is the Greek word chronos, and we learn the word in the English word chronology, which refers to the time sequence. And he says, "It's not for you to know the times, the passage of time, when all these things would happen, when God would intervene in time to bring about his purpose." We shall call that the Kairos. When God would intervene in time to bring about his purpose, a period of time to fulfill his special purpose for them, his special program. And therefore, you have the Greek word Kairos, which refers to that special period of time that will intervene the time sequence. So God makes sure, God ensures that there are different periods of time for his dealings with different people in the passage of time, the chronology of time. Now, what are those times? For example, there will be the times to Gentiles in Luke 21:24. We read, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." There is this period known as the times of the Gentiles. What is meant by that? Well, the times of the Gentiles would start with the last king of Israel. Israel, because of their disobedience, were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar would begin the times of the Gentiles, because after that, Israel had no more king. Their last king was Zedekiah. The Israel would have no more king, and from that time onwards, Israel came under the rule of Gentile sovereigns. There was the Babylonians, there were the Medo-Persians, there were the Greeks, there were the Romans. And until the end, even up to now, we find that Israel had no king. But because God had put them aside, one day God would restore them and they would have a king when they acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the Messiah and the King of the kingdom. Until that day, that period of time intervening, the passage of time, is known as the times of the Gentiles. Then there is the fullness of Gentiles mentioned in Romans 11:25, where we read, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles come in." This fullness of Gentiles will refer to that period when Israel in part, when blindness in part is happened to Israel. Israel had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And in their place, for that moment of time, the church had been brought in to fulfill God's purpose for which Israel had failed. And at the end of that church age, church period, will be the fullness of the Gentiles. Then Israel would be taken in again by God. Please note that Israel, blindness in part is happened to Israel, not full blindness, because God would take them back after the fullness of the Gentiles. So the fullness of the Gentiles would refer to the end, the conclusion of that period known as the church age. So there's a difference between the times of the Gentiles to the Gentile rule over Jerusalem and the fullness of the Gentiles, the period of the church age that will come to an end. And that's what the church, the fullness Gentiles means, at the end of the church age. The church age began with Pentecost, and it will end at the time of the rapture, when the church will be taken up into heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, therefore, we have this period that we have been talking about, the times of the church age, the mystery of the church. It is referred to as mystery because it was hidden in the Old Testament. The truth of the church was not known to the people in the Old Testament. And as we read in Ephesians 3, the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, might be made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The church was not known in the Old Testament. It was hidden. It was not revealed. And it's until Pentecost when the church started. And from then on, we have the church until it will conclude its period at the fullness of the times. So, what is this fullness of the times? I mean, a mystery of the church. It is that period of the church age from Pentecost to the time when the church will be raptured into heaven. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, Ephesians 1 we read, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. This is the last period that we are talking about. When we refer to it as the fullness of times, you know, all the times of Gentiles, the times of the fullness of time of the Gentiles, the fullness of the church age, all that will now come to a peak, and that will be the fullness of times when all will be gathered together in one, all things. Why? So that he had put all things under his feet. But when he had put all things under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. The Lord Jesus Christ is accepted, which had put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that all things under him, that God may be all in all. What does that all mean? All things will be brought under subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the head of all things. When all these things are under him, subject to him, he will take all these things and he himself will come to the God, to the Lord himself. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that all things under him may make God all in all. This is the very climax of all times in the history of time in chronology. So, with this, we have an idea of what is going to happen in the time to come. Right. Now we come on to our subject, the second coming of Christ. Now, where does the second coming of Christ come in our discussion of these times of various types? Well, the second coming of Christ is referred to in with regard to two groups of people, for the church and for the Jew, for Israel. Now, unfortunately, many people, many Christians confuse the two and regard this as one, that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is one event when he will come for the church and for Israel all at the same time. Now, if we read the scriptures, this is not so, because we find that there's a distinction between the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for Israel. Now, let us recapture what I've said. The church age would begin from Pentecost to the rapture. Pentecost to the time when the church will be raptured into heaven. Then the second coming would refer to both his coming for the church and also for Israel. We shall call that the revelation, to make a distinction between the two. Both of them are referred to as his second coming. There is the first advent and there is the second advent. And if the second advent refers to Israel, it will also include the tribulation. Whereas we refers to the church, it will believe that it excludes the tribulation. That will be discussed next Sunday. So, the second coming of Christ, we shall see, can refer to the church as well as to Israel. But they are not the same event. Let's look further at this. In the scripture, the second coming of Christ appears to be in two stages, with both referred to as his second coming or advent. But there are major distinct differences between the two stages. Stage 1, the rapture. Stage 2, the revelation. The rapture is for the church, and we read that in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Now, the word rapture is not found in scripture. It is a word that is taken from Latin, rapturo, and then it means caught. It translated from caught up, from the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize, to catch away, to pluck, to pull, to take away by force, to snatch. This is what rapture is all about. To take away by force. Let me explain that further later on. All who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, dead or alive, one day when Jesus Christ comes, all will be taken up. Taken up means caught up. Caught up means snatched up, taken away by force, up into heaven to be with Christ. That is the rapture. Why do I use the term by force? Snatch, take away. Well, this is how the word rapture or hapazo is used in the Bible. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. We read with regard to the parable of the sower that the Lord Jesus Christ told the people. He said, after all the seeds have been sown in the ground, then those people who do not understand the word, the devil will come and snatch away the seed. Snatch away. Matthew 13:19. The word snatched away is the same as rapture, caught up. You'll be snatched out by force if necessary. John chapter 10, verse 28. We read that all those who are saved and who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are kept in the very hands of God. Are kept in the very hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Christ and God are one, we are safely kept in the hands of Christ and of God. A twofold security. And he says, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one can pluck them out of my Father's hand, which holds my hand, the hands of the Lord, which holds you and me. And therefore, we are doubly secure. No one can snatch, not by any force whatever, no one can snatch us away. We are saved and saved forevermore if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another illustration. Genesis 5:24. We know this very well. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The word took is the same translation of the Greek word hapazo. Enoch was walking with God. Then suddenly he disappeared. He was not, for God took him. The word took is the same word. God raptured him. And Enoch is a type of the Lord Jesus and the church being raptured up into heaven. Just as God raptured up Enoch and took him away, God took him. So one day the church will be caught up, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will take the church up to be with him by force if necessary. Now, why by force? Because there are some of us, some Christians, who have lived in this world, who have built a life in this world, and who love this world. They have had built up mansions, they have built up their wealth, they have accumulated riches, and just like the rich man, I have everything. There is nothing that I don't have. I'm happy. And they are happy to be in this world. And if the Lord Jesus Christ comes and breaks that kind of lifestyle and takes them away, they will not be happy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have his life, must snatch them away, pull them away, up to be with the Lord. Are you like that? Am I like that? So get up, so rooted in the riches of this world, in the lifestyle of this world, so that we are very sad to leave this world, that we long to live in this world as long as we can, as long as we can possibly do so. Oh, may the Lord help us, that us be prepared to be snatched away if necessary. Now, I use the word revelation for the second part, second stage of the second coming of Christ, with regard to the Jews, Now you see the reason why. The term revelation, when the Lord Jesus shall appear to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please note the word revealed. The Lord Jesus will be revealed. That is in reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ too. When he comes, he will be revealed. And he will be revealed, and after that he will take judgment. Now certainly, these two texts cannot refer to the same event. One, to be with Christ forevermore, happy. The other one, to be judged by Christ. Can the two, and both are referred to as his second coming. Can they be the same? So in order to make a distinction between the two, this first part, which we shall call the rapture, is a reference to the rapture of the church, when the church will be taken up when Christ comes. The second part will be reference to Israel, which will not be taken up, which will remain on earth when Christ comes, as we shall see. When Christ comes with his army, and they will come to the earth. So in the rapture, the church is taken up into heaven. In the revelation, the church and Christ will come to rescue the Jews on earth. That will be the battle of Armageddon. Now the word revealed is interesting here again. In Greek is apokalypsis. It means an appearing, coming, be revealed, and a revelation. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, there will be a second revelation. Before the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the earth to rescue his people, the Jews, there will be another revelation. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 tells us there will be a revelation of the man of sin. Antichrist will be revealed in the temple as who he is. Chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 8. Then he will show forth what the kind of person he is as the man of sin, Antichrist. So there will be two revelations. The first part is the revelation of the man of sin, and then the second part, the revelation of Jesus Christ to destroy the man of sin. So that's why I call the second part. And here the church is not involved, except when the church will come with the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue the Israel. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 is very clear. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there will be first the revelation of the man of sin, then will come the son of man. Otherwise, he will not come before that. There is a sign. Secondly, Christ coming for the church. The Lord himself shall descend. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ's coming is for the church. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those who are alive later shall be caught up, shall be changed, and shall be caught up together with Christ to meet Christ in the air. But note, please, that this is for the church, because it's only for those in Christ. Whereas the revelation, Christ comes for the Jew, for Israel. It says, the house of David and all inhabitants of Jerusalem shall look upon me whom they have pierced. He comes, and everybody will be able to see him. Every eye shall fix his or her eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared. Today is possible, isn't it? We have net, we have internet, we have the television, we have the Zoom even. That today, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes in any part of the world, we can see him. Just as today, this morning, if there is someone on the other side of the world and still in day, they can see me. Night or day, they can still see me speaking. This is now, we are now nearing, very near to the end times, when every eye shall see him as he is. today a football match, international football match, it's not a problem. Everybody can see that football match in real time. Surely, this prophecy is now possible, which would be an impossibility in the days of Zechariah. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 again. It says there, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Please note, there will first be a shout from heaven to wake up all those who are dead in Christ, in case they are too sleepy and they still want to sleep. With the voice of the archangel, this is especially for those who are not dead, those who are alive. With the voice of the archangel will blow, that we will shout out as loud as possible. And how would he do it? The word voice is phone, where we get the word phone. Today, this is very, very possible, because practically everyone today must have a phone in order to live against COVID-19. Isn't it true? When Christ comes, the archangel will send a message. Wake up! Get up! Rise! And all that will happen in just a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So, the visionary sight is possible. The auditory sight, hearing, is possible. We are now in those days when these scriptures will be fulfilled. Christ comes for his saints. As I told you now, Christ will fold up to all the saints, give a text perhaps, and call up all those who are his. It involves only the church. Whereas the revelation, you see that Christ comes with his saints. The church raptured in heaven. They will be there for the time when they will be judged for their service, not for their sin, but for their service, when they will be rewarded if they have been faithful. They will be ashamed if they have not been doing service for the Lord, and they will be very sad because they will have no reward. But for those who are faithful, like all of you here who are here today, even despite all these circumstances, you will be rewarded accordingly. But when Christ comes for Israel, he comes with his saints. After our judgment on heaven, we will come with Christ to deliver Israel and the Israel from the persecution to come. And we read that in Matthew 24, 15, 16, 29, and 25, 31, 32, that in the great tribulation, the Jews will suffer tremendously, and unless Jesus Christ comes to rescue them from the man of sin and his cohorts, no one will be saved. But Christ will come, and he, together with the church, will rescue his people from their sin, from their persecution. 3. In the rapture, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air. We which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are dead will be raised up, and they will meet Christ in the air. Those who are alive, they will be caught up, and they will meet Christ in the air. But for those in the Jew of the Jews, they will not be raptured to the air. They will still be on earth. The Lord, when he comes, the Lord shall go forth and fight against the nations. His feet shall be on that day upon the Mount of Olives. He will come to earth with his saints. And so you see, there's a distinction. And both are referred to as the second coming of Christ. In the case of the Jews, when Christ comes, his feet will land on Mount of Olives, as we read in Zechariah 14:3, and Mount of Olives will split into two in an earthquake. But when the rapture takes place for the church, we come that nothing happens to Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives remains intact, and it will be as natural as before. Nothing would happen to Mount of Olives. But when he comes for the Jews, Mount of Olives will experience an earthquake. Then that's different. In the rapture, he comes alone. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Himself, nobody else. No saints are with him. No angels are with him. Himself shall descend from heaven. Whereas, with regard to the revelation, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Who are they? The church, who have been judged for their service. They will come with him. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. The Old Testament prophesied that, the New Testament prophesied that. In the second coming for the Jews, the Lord will come with his saints. Now, why does he come alone? He comes to claim for his bride. The espoused bride is now on earth. He will take his bride back into heaven, and there will happen the wedding of between the bride and the bridegroom that we read of in Revelation. The marriage will take place, and at the end of it, Christ will come, and Christ will destroy the enemies of Israel, and he will have his marriage feast to which all Israel will be invited, and all Gentiles as well. So in the second coming for Israel, he returns from the wedding, but not to take his bride. Whereas in the rapture, he comes to take his bride, get married in heaven, and come back for a feast in heaven on earth, where the Old Testament saints are invited as guests of the wedding feast. For the rapture is a time of blessing, and that's why it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another with these words. Whereas with regard to Revelation, it's a time of judgment. How can it be a time of blessing when judgment will take place and thousands and millions will die because of the battle of Armageddon? And so you see the great difference between the Revelation and the rapture, when Christ will come with thousands of his saints to do battle with the enemies of Israel, and they will die in the process. Right, number five, and I try to end as fast as possible now. It is private. We shall all be changed in a moment, in twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye is so fast that when we blink, all these have happened. Change, and we shall be taken up into heaven. Whereas with regard to the coming of Christ for Israel, it says there, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him. Now no one will be changed. They shall see him as he is, as he comes down to save them. Those in Christ will then be resurrected, their bodies will be changed, and they will put on immortal bodies in the rapture. Whereas we find that with regard to his coming for Israel, there will be those, of course, who will die and who will be saved in the great tribulation. They will be there in heaven. But for the actual coming will be when he and the others will come for the earthly Israel on earth. With regard to the rapture, no signs precede it. It can come anytime, it can happen anywhere, anyhow, no one knows when. But we find, with regard to his coming for Israel, there will be definite signs. The moon, the sun will be darkened, and so on. We read that in Matthew 24, 29 and 30. There will be natural phenomena to indicate to us that his coming is very soon, but not with regard to the rapture of the church. The dead in Christ resurrected, followed by the rapture of all to join him in the air and be with the Lord forevermore. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How great! Comfort one another with these words. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can this be the same as his second coming for the Jew? Then when there is no resurrection and no rapture taking place, but it is followed by judgment of the nations. Behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the host of angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory before him. There shall be gathered all nations, and they shall be judged. And so you find there's a great difference between his coming for the church and his coming for Israel. And with this, I finish. I think I will not go through the book of Revelation because it is already time. So if you are interested, you can look at my website and you will be able to see the rest of this video on my website. So until then, may the Lord bless all of you. We'll meet again next week as the Lord then. In the meanwhile, let us be prepared for the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the church, because there will be no sign. It can happen anytime. And the time is very near. Why? Because now it's possible for every eye to see him because of modern technology. Now it's possible for every ear to hear him because of modern technology. Let us be prepared, because the time is coming. When he comes, will we be ready? May the Lord bless all of you. I see you next week.